escape reel in it.
You got one.
Last week we began a new series in resilience. Pastor Michael talked about being anchored in Jesus. It brings resilience into our lives because we know that no matter how many times we fall, Jesus is always there to pick us up. I love how our video talked about really cheering each other on, caring for each other. You got one, buddy. You got one. To me, that's the kind of community I want to be a part, because immersed communities are resilient ones. To be immersed is to involve oneself deeply. And a description of community is a feeling of fellowship with others. So to be immersed in community is to involve oneself deeply in fellowship with others. Our scripture reading is from Exodus 17, 8 to 16. To me, it depicts such a beautiful picture of what it means to be resilient in an immersed community. That's Exodus 17, 8 to 16. The Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites at Rephidim. Moses said to Joshua, "Choose some of our men and go out to fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hands."
So Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. As long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held up his hands, one on one side, one on the other, so that his hands remained steady till sunset. So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword.
Then the Lord said to Moses, "Write this on a scroll as something to be remembered, and make sure that Joshua hears it, because I will completely blot out the name of Amalek from under heaven." So Moses built an altar and called it, "The Lord is my banner." He said, "Because hands were lifted up against the throne of the Lord, the Lord will be at war against the Amalekites from generation to generation." In this account, we can see that Moses gave to Joshua, and Aaron and Hur gave to Moses. When looking at this text, it's just such a beautiful, clear picture of involving oneself deeply, to the point of life and even death. Because in order to win the battle, Joshua needed Moses. And Moses needed Aaron and Hur. They needed to be involve themselves deeply, or defeat was inevitable. But as a result of an immersed community, resilience was generated.
There's no question of whether or not the Word of God emphasizes the need we have for each other. Rick Warren writes in his book, The Purpose-Driven Life, over 50 times in the New Testament, the phrase "one another" or "each other" is used. We're commanded to love each other, pray for each other, encourage each other, admonish each other, greet each other, serve each other, teach each other, accept each other, honor each other, bear each other's burdens, forgive each other, submit to each other, be devoted to each other, and many more mutual tasks. This is biblical membership. These are your family responsibilities that God expects you to fulfill through a local fellowship. So who are you doing these with?
Community is a catchword these days. Often catchwords begin when there's been a lack of something. Well, years ago, nobody talked about community. They simply lived it. No one had to figure out how to build it because it was a lifestyle. They were immersed in each other's lives because they needed each other. Well, to me, so often what we do is we throw the baby out with the bathwater. We've tried to build a life around things, around stuff, and then more things and more stuff. But with the markets rising and falling and living in and through a pandemic, and with the economic instability, I think we're crying for a place to call home. A place to belong. A place where it's okay even if we're not okay. A place where people are involved deeply in fellowship with others. An immersed community.
Where others are willing to hold up your arms in the midst of crisis in order for us to make it through, here is where we can experience resilience with the help of community. A few years back, myself and a few coworkers attended a church conference together, and part of the conference was discussing the importance of everyone having a tribe around them, people that would rally around them in times of crisis. And as we were discussing this on the way home, one of our newest team members was sitting there, and she turned to me and she says, "Honestly, Christy, I think that if I were to hit a crisis tomorrow, I wouldn't have a tribe. I wouldn't have anyone that I could call on in this time of need." Well, it was only a few weeks later when this very friend nearly lost her husband in a head-on car crash. And at the same time, one of her daughters was fighting for her life in the hospital. Well, I have to say, this woman had a very large tribe that rallied around her in this time and the rest of her family. In fact, this was a recent post of the anniversary of this tragic event that my friend wrote. So these are her words. She says, "Today almost slipped past unnoticed. But then I remembered that 11 years ago at this time, I was at the Foothills Hospital waiting for news from the doctors. Were they able to save Andrew's life? And if so, what injuries had he sustained? I wasn't thinking about the future, just my next breath and his. I can't say enough about the love and care God showered upon us in the minutes, hours, and days to come. The amazing medical staff, the supreme prayer warriors that rose up to pray, those who took care of my children when I couldn't, those who helped with very practical needs that we had, meals, laundry, lawn care, money, etc., etc. Well, time has passed and taken with it the intensity of emotions from those days. I'm still humbled by it all and forever grateful." Well, I remember my dear friend saying to me after the fact that she would never again say that she didn't have a tribe. The Lord had placed many Aaron and hers in her life that helped her to be resilient. When the battle raged on, the Lord provided her and her family with those around them to lift them up and fight alongside them. Jesus himself, in fact, asked his disciples to stay and watch with him and to pray with him. He needed their presence, and they failed him. So we're not alone in our desperate times. When we just wish someone would come up for us, Jesus understands this greatly. It takes effort to develop an immersed community where resilience is produced. We can't cover it all in one Sunday, but we have a few ideas that we want to encourage you with to be intentional in creating this.
So first of all, when we think of immersed communities with resilience, those communities have to be filled with authentic people. In order for us to truly be immersed, to deeply love each other, we have to be real. We have to tell the real story. We need to be careful to not, I mean, it always has to be done with healthy disclosure. But I think it's so important for us to share our true feelings, be authentic, but also do it with kindness and obviously confidentiality. Somebody tells you something deep about their life, my rule of thumb is I never talk about it until I hear them talk about it or someone else talk about it. And if I can have input, that's one thing. But even then, I'm careful as to what someone has told me. We need to live our lives. I mean, we've come from the mask time. Everybody wore a mask. Isn't it good to see people actually still have lips? You know, so when you think about it, we need to take off the mask, not the ones for the pandemic. We need to remove the mask because that camouflages who we are, who God designed us to be. We need to be real with Him and real with others. Psalm 139, verse 1 says, O Lord, you have examined my heart, and you know everything about me. He knows everything. We can't surprise God, and we certainly can't inform him of what's happening in our lives. Likewise, let's not pretend that our lives aren't something they claim to be. We need to accept each other, but often that begins with accepting who we are. It's important not to pretend to be something we weren't meant to be. I wish so often that I was like Christy. She's an introvert, so she takes time to form her thoughts, and then they come out of her mouth. But not me. Sometimes I'm thinking out here, and I'm offending out here. And that's so uncomfortable. I feel bad for everyone, including those that I love the most. But you know, I need to accept who I am, because if I don't accept me, I'm probably not going to accept you. And I love you, Christy. I love every part of you. Your heart, the fact that you've been my Aaron and her, even this week, even this day. Thank you for caring deeply. But you know, we all mess up. We all have struggle with times when we feel like we're not quite making it. It's okay to admit our weaknesses, because that to me is part of removing the mask. But always be clothed with humility. 1 Peter 5:5 says, clothe yourself with humility. Put on that garment. We need to remember, though, that humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. It means to not be ashamed with what we're struggling with. Again, with healthy disclosure. But you know, God's strength shows up best in weak people. We all have our issues that we don't want others to see. I love Beth Moore's book called So Long, Insecurity, and the subtitle, You've Not Been a Friend to Us. Well, it is God's desire to heal us and use our insecurities in order for us to minister to others.
You know, this is what I love about our relationship, Teresa. You have so often been an Aaron and her in my life. You have journeyed with me through some really hard times and some great joyful times as well. And that's because we've been able to be authentic and real with one another. And I truly, truly, that is a true treasured gift for me. So thank you from the bottom of my heart. Well, number two, immerse communities with resilience, encourage and support one another. 1 Thessalonians 4:18 says, therefore encourage each other. And in chapter 5, verse 11, it states it like this, encourage one another and build each other up. Taking the time to write an actual letter of gratitude means so much to the person receiving it. A few years back, I challenged one of the ministry teams that I was leading to take the time to ask God if there's someone in their life that has been a real spiritual mentor to them and has really impacted their spiritual walk with Jesus. And then to take the time to call them, send them an email, write them a letter, and express their heart of gratitude to that individual. Well, the teacher must also be the student. And so I did the same. And so my person that I wrote a letter to happened to be my Sunday school teacher when I was 7 years old, and he happened to be the one that led me to Jesus. And so I was able to track him and his wife down, and turned out that they were serving overseas as missionaries. And so I sent them an email and just really expressed my heart of gratitude for the impact they'd had on my life. Well, little did I know that when that email arrived, that they in their ministry were going through a time of trial and just really struggling and really discouraged and feeling like they had really no impact. And so I did not know that, and yet I really was so thankful that I had taken the time to encourage them, because they were ready to give up. And so you never know. You never know. So I would encourage you, when the Holy Spirit brings someone to your mind and your heart, take the time and pray for that person and reach out to them. Yeah. You never know what the Lord will use to spur them on in their journey with Jesus. The Lord's timing is always perfect. I could tell you many stories of when I received a phone call, a text, an email, a letter from someone who may not know what is going on in my world, but just acted on the prompting of the Holy Spirit and contacted me and encouraged me in the way that I needed it the most. And I pray that I too am a vessel to those around me, that I am obedient to act and encourage daily in the same way.
Resilient people who live in immersed communities forgive each other. In the Lord's Prayer, it says it so simply, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." The journey of forgiveness never actually ends. One of the greatest fears, I think, for any of us in community is being hurt. So we tend to avoid close relationships and we tend to avoid times of conflict and fear. So the closer we get, the more we get hurt or offended. Who here has ever been offended? Come on. Who here gets up in the morning to offend somebody? Highly unlikely. There may be a few. But sometimes when we think about offenses and living in community, especially the closer we get, it's often the little stuff that bugs us the most. It's the annoyances. It's the everyday things that can really be like a burr in our saddle. You know, for me personally, I have a few little things, and Jim always says, "You're telling our secrets," but he knows about it. But it's, you know, like, I don't know about you, but Jim likes the closet door left open. Hello. And I like it closed. He says pretty and practical. That's how he views it. But it's not to me. But there are times I actually have to forgive him for the closet door being open again. Or the infamous toilet seat. People have the toilet seat issues all the time. And the paper, what about the toilet paper? It's empty. Again, I wonder who was there last. Or the snide remark when you worked so hard to make it right. What about the lack of gratitude? How many times do you just wish that someone would say thank you? Or maybe it's manners, like please, thank you, excuse me. Those are just places where, you know, those kinds of things can get under our saddle or under our skin to where they become such huge irritants. Just like you don't set out to annoy your family and friends, they don't either. But God says, forgive, or we won't be forgiven. Personally, I think that our homes and our families and our relationships that are closest to us are a place for us to grow in what relationships are. Because if we don't practice inside our houses, we're most likely not going to practice outside. We're going to avoid anybody who ticks us off. But that's not how we grow resilient communities. You know, when Jim and I were first married, we were so young and probably dumb. And we moved far away from our families, and I was hired in the Christian school in the church, and Jim was hired as one of the pastors. Well, lo and behold, there was another young woman who was hired at the same time in the school. And to make a long story short, she informed me that Jim had actually married the wrong woman. That he needed to have married someone who was much more at his intellectual level. You know what that means. I didn't mean it. But all my insecurity surfaced. All my fears of what I thought should be. Blissful marriage had turned into a lot of blisters. Because I thought I was not adequate. It left me very hurt and angry. I have to admit, I was furious. I wanted to make her life really unpleasant. But you know, how do I work with her? How do I go there every day? Mm-hmm. And actually be able to, and her and I and one other person were on staff with these kids teaching. So how do you deal with that? So Jim and I began to pray about it. Well, Jim in his wisdom challenged me to ask God to show me one good thing every day.
That's so awesome.
Sometimes it wasn't very deep. It was like her earrings were nice. And so Jim said, well, whatever God points out, be it so simple, tell her with your outside voice. So I began to not only pray for her and pray God's blessing upon her, because I had asked God to help me to forgive her, but this was a way of acting on forgiveness. Because like Jim says, forgiveness is one big yes, saying yes, I forgive, but then it's a whole bunch of little ones to follow. Mm-hmm. This was forgiveness in action to me. And the incredible part of this story is that when we moved from there, she said I was the best friend she'd ever had because I loved her more than anyone.
Love that.
Forgiveness sets people free. Forgiveness picks people up. It helps us to keep going when we feel like we can't. Immersed communities with resilience respect their differences. I had to respect her. She needed to respect me, but that wasn't up to me. But I learned that different is different, not wrong. Titus 3:2 says to slander no one. That pretty much encompasses the whole world. So who am I slandering or putting down? Because they don't think like me. We tend to place our own traditions or our culture on others and call it Christian. For example, growing up, I was told that going to a theater was sin.
What?
But lo and behold, I learned that going to a theater is not sin. It's what I watch in that theater. That could be sin. But it's not the theater. But we tend to gravitate to the same because of what we've been raised in or our comfort zones. And we call them Christian values. But are they? Or are they just differences? His ways, God's ways, do not fit into our ways. And he says to us to love one another, to encourage each other, and to bless one another, because different is different, not wrong. God's ways and his thoughts are completely different than ours. He declares it in Isaiah 55:8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways, declares the Lord. But to me, probably one of the biggest areas that we struggle in as Christ followers, or even just as we walk down the street, we need to respect our differences, but it also means that we don't compare ourselves with each other. Comparison is a killer, because either we end up on top or on the bottom. Either place, it makes us arrogant or it makes us inadequate. And so we need to obey the words of what God has said to us in 2 Corinthians 10:12. Those that compare themselves by themselves are not wise. So let's be wise. Let's work hard at building each other up, making a big deal of who they are and what they can be. I mean, we need to ask ourselves the question, how can we celebrate something in us? I mean, usually we're our own worst critic, right? And so how can we celebrate something in us, but also how can we celebrate something in each other? You know, a long time ago, Jim read a book, and one of the catchphrases that we have used since that time, and I don't remember the book and I don't remember the author, but it's catch people doing something good and make a big deal of it.
Yep.
You know, and say it with our outside voices. Accept us. You are not an accident. I am not an accident. We were created in intricate detail to the right parents at the right time. Psalm 139:15 says, "My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place." Rick Warren says, "There are illegitimate parents, but there are no illegitimate children. You may not have been planned by your parents, but you were planned and designed by God." So let's let God be God and look for ways that we can get on board with Him rather than trying to change who we are or change who someone else is. I mean, COVID has caused so many conflicts, so much division. Mm-hmm. It's heartbreaking. We all have different opinions. But let's be intentional in creating healthy communities mm-hmm. by accepting our differences.
Absolutely. And finally, immerse communities with resilience, commune with Jesus. When I reflect on the account of Joshua, Moses, Aaron, and Hur, I know that the battle was won in community, but the source of power was from God the Father. None of those four men would have had the strength on their own to fight the battle they were called to. Perhaps you're saying to yourself today that you have a great community around you already. But let me challenge you. Are there a community that communes with Jesus and encourages you to do the same? Well, Moses acknowledged this as we look back on verses 15 and 16 in this scripture passage today, which says, Moses built an altar and called it, "The Lord is my banner." He said, "Because my hands were lifted up against the throne of the Lord will be at war against the Amalekites from generation to generation." These men knew they fought the battle under the authority and power of God. The battle was won because the Lord was their defender and their defense. They relied on Him. Are there battles in your life that you're fighting alone? We need the support from a community of Christ followers in order to be resilient in the battles we encounter in life. Just over 8 years ago, I entered a battle in ministry, a time of transition and being led out of a place where I thought the Lord had called me to for many years. So when it ended after 4 years, I was devastated and crushed. I know that I would not be standing here today without the Aaron and Hers in my life, and Jesus as my refuge and strength. In fact, as I was preparing for this sermon, I went back and read some of the correspondence that I had sent to the Aaron and Hers in my life at that time. And as hard as I needed, as hard as this was, I needed to be authentic and real with this community that I was immersed in. I was broken and raw. And I knew that I couldn't face this battle alone. As I reread the words of response from each one of these individuals, I know to this day that I could still call on them and they would continue to uphold me in prayer. They had words of encouragement from the Father. They had listening ears for me and spoke truth in love. Sometimes with words that were hard to hear, and yet if it had not been there and they had not said them, I believe I would not be serving in our ACC community today. In part of this battle, I was told that I wasn't qualified for the position in ministry for multiple reasons, so it was difficult to not have the comparison trap set in, not to mention the feeling and sense of inadequacy. Part of the Lord's restorative work in my life was when I went through my accreditation process here in the Alliance District. The very words from the team of men that did the interview with me said, "Not only have you been clearly called to this ministry, you are more than qualified, Christy." Talk about healing words and hope restored. Because of past hurts in the midst of battle, well, fear had taken hold, and I was afraid to step back into ministry in fear of putting my heart on the line to be crushed all over again. I was not sure my heart could take it, so was it even worth the risk? Well, yes. These Aaron and Hers, they lifted me up in prayer, spoke words to me I needed to hear, and helped me through the journey of forgiveness. Jesus did a softening of my heart, set me on the path of healing and forgiveness, restoration of relationships, and gave me the courage to step out again in faith and trust. In fact, a couple years ago at prayer retreat, the Lord gave me this image. He took me back to that office and to that battlefield of the time. And this time as I was leaving, He gave me the image of him putting his wings around me and being under the shelter of his wings and ushering me out of that office. In fact, if you come into my office today, you will see Psalm 91:4 posted on my wall, which says, "He will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection." His faithful promises are our armor and protection. For those of you that know me well and follow me on Instagram or Facebook, you know that I have a passion for photography, and you'll often see photos that I've taken with the Lord's promises attached. Jesus continually feeds my heart and soul through his word. I need to commune with Jesus. Resilience is possible when I walk hand in hand with Jesus. I need to spend time with him. He is my source and my strength. Jesus longs for relationship with us. I love how Jane Rubietta describes this in her book, The Resting Place. And this is what she says. She says, Jesus waits. And when we finally lift our face from our worries, and I might add here, when we bring our battles to him, we see those eyes. They beam with love and appreciation and a forever commitment. Jesus just waits to meet our eyes and pour into us his eternal affection. Do you see him? Can you find his gaze? Do you see that brilliant smile break over his face like the sunrise, and you know you are his and he is crazy about you? And he is just loving you. And there's no need to look anywhere else. Heaven has come to earth. You have a lover who is dying to be with you. So as our time together today comes to a close, let's go to our Heavenly Father and see if there's something he would like to speak to our hearts today. So would you pray with me? Perhaps this morning, today, as you're watching this, where are you at? Who would you say are the Aaron and hers in your life? Who can you be an Aaron and her to? Holy Spirit, would you speak to our hearts and bring those people to our minds? And Father, if there isn't anyone currently in our life, I pray that you would impress upon our hearts to immerse ourselves in a community where we can be Aaron and hers to one another. Perhaps your relationship with Jesus right now is really struggling. Perhaps you're struggling with forgiveness with someone in your life. Bring that to Jesus now. Father, I thank you for your word. And I thank you for this reminder that in order to live resilient lives, we need community. We need Aaron and hers in our lives. And we need to be that to others. So, Father, I pray that you would continue to draw us closer in our walk with you and with each other. In Jesus' name, amen.